Come, Holy Spirit, would you take these words and speak to us through them, I ask, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
There was a game warden who was in his boat out on the lake, and he was observing another guy in another boat away from him, and he saw the guy light a stick of dynamite and throw it into the water, and fish came up to the surface, and the guy would scoop them up and put them in his boat. He watched him do that a couple of times, and he got in his boat. He drove over to where the guy was, and he said, "Hey, what are you doing? You can't throw dynamite into the water and fish that way." And he just kept going on and on and on, telling this guy what he couldn't do. And finally, the guy in the boat lit a stick of dynamite, handed it to the game warden, and said, "Are you going to talk or are you going to fish?" Turn, if you will, in your bulletins to our gospel lesson today, page 7, Matthew chapter 4. And starting in verse 18, Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net in the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." Now, obviously, as we read that, we recognize that Jesus wasn't just calling only Peter and Andrew to go fishing for people. He's calling all of us to do that. We all are called to be fishers of people. While we know that we're supposed to fish for people, we know that we're supposed to share our faith to try to bring other people to Christ. Most of the time, we don't really know how to do it. And if we're honest about it, we don't really feel like doing it many times. I went fishing for fish for the first time with my grandfather at his home. He had a home on a lake. And he took me out, showed me how to set up everything, how to, hook up the bait and everything like that. And so I threw my line into the water and expected immediately to catch a fish. And obviously, the time went on and on and on. I thought to myself, this is so boring. Who wants to do this? Till finally, I caught a fish, and he showed me how to reel it in. And that was so exciting to catch a fish. And so I thought, well, there's nothing to this fishing now that I've caught one. So I threw the line back in and waited and waited and waited. Didn't have a nibble the whole rest of the day. So I thought, well, I'm not sure this fishing thing is for me. So then many years later, I took my daughter Alexandra to a trout farm. Now, I don't know, I didn't know what a trout farm was. I thought it was like on a farm, it had a lake on it, it had trout in it. And so we got there, and the guy hooked us up with all the equipment we needed. We set the bait and everything, and we threw our lines in the water, and almost immediately we caught a trout. And so we took a trout off, put it in the bucket, and hooked up again, and then threw it into the water, and almost immediately we got another trout. And this just kept going and going and going. We were catching trout and screaming, and I thought, man, this is great. There's nothing to this fishing thing. Well, I didn't realize that a trout farm was designed for that. They probably starved the fish so that any food that came into the water, you're gonna catch them. And so I thought, well, that's obviously not the regular fishing sort of thing. So I decided to go fishing again in another lake another time. And this time I had everything set up right and threw the line in the water and didn't get even a nibble the whole time. And so I realized that there are times in fishing where it's exciting, exhilarating, and there are other times when it's just sheer boredom. And I think that's the case when it comes to trying to fish for people. We oftentimes get frustrated because we don't maybe know how to share our faith with others, or we don't know what to do in terms of initiating a spiritual conversation. But part of what fishing is all about is not just catching fish, it's really about the process. It's about the experience and the effort in catching fish that makes fishing so interesting to fishermen. I also learned a number of things about fishing for fish that made sense when it comes to fishing for people. The first thing I learned is that you need to go where the fish are. Well, that seems obvious, but many times fishermen will find out where fish are biting, and they'll go to that spot so that they can hopefully catch some. And so it's important to go where the fish are. We can't expect the unbeliever and the unchurched person to come to us. Rather, we are to go to them and seek to share the good news with them when we're able to do so, because there are many fishing holes out there. Whenever we encounter people that can be a place to start fishing. Sometimes we might need to go to some place we hadn't ordinarily thought of as a place that would be a good place to go fishing for people. There was a guy I knew that really wanted to share his faith with others. He really was looking for ways to do that, but he couldn't seem to find anything that gave him the ability to do that. So he decided to join a bowling league that was made up of all guys, and he didn't really like to bowl that much, but he thought maybe this is a place where I could go to connect with some guys. And so during the whole league, he began to develop relationships with these guys, and as he did so, eventually he had the ability to share his faith with some of them. And in fact, he was able to lead one guy to the Lord as a result of his efforts to go where the fish were. So every Friday, I go out to the Champion Circle golf course, and they have a tournament there where about 40 to 60 guys are involved, and they pair us up with different people every week. So I have an opportunity to develop relationships with different guys each time I go out every Friday. And so as I've done so, I've been able to develop those relationships to the point where I have been able to share my faith with some of the guys out there. Now, some of those guys still give me a hard time. They want to buy absolution from me from time to time, but I told them that absolution isn't for sale. But I realize that I'm beginning to make an impact on some of those guys just by the fact that I'm going where the fish are. So first of all, go where the fish are. Secondly, use the right line. When you're fishing for small fish, you can use a line that's not very strong. But if you're fishing for marlin, you have to use a line that is very strong and can't break very easily. And so you need to use the right line. When we approach someone with whom we want to share our faith, we need to use the right line. In the book of Acts, we see Peter and Paul, for example, seeking to share their faith by connecting with the people to whom they're trying to share. In fact, in Acts chapter 17, Paul says this, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious." He begins by complimenting them, by telling them they're doing something right, they're doing something good. And then he goes on to say, "As I walked around, I looked carefully at the objects of worship." He found something that with which he could connect with them as he was speaking to them. "So as I walked around, I looked carefully at your objects of worship. I even found an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I am here to proclaim to you." So he used that what they knew as a segue to get into sharing his faith with them. He talked to the Greeks in a way with which they could relate. When you use a line to initiate a spiritual conversation, try to use something that the other person can relate to. You might ask, you might try to find out what they like, or what they do, or maybe something with which they're struggling. Those can all be segues into starting a spiritual conversation. The next thing we can learn from fishing is, as it applies to fishing for people, is to use the right bait. You have to have the right line, and you can go where the fish are, but if you don't have the right bait, you're not going to catch anything. The type of bait that is most attractive is our testimony, our witness, and how we have come to Christ and what Christ has done for us in our lives. That can be a real powerful attraction to someone who may be struggling with trying to find purpose and meaning in life, or someone who really is just not finding any real joy in their life. That can be a way of introducing them to the idea that there is someone who can really benefit them and help them in their life. Another type of bait that we can use is Scripture. Are there Bible passages that speak directly to where a person is in their life? For example, you might encounter someone who believes that you can get to heaven by doing a lot of good works or by trying to be a good person or something like that. And if you know the Scriptures, then you can help them to understand things like a passage that says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Or you might quote Ephesians chapter 2, which says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he has prepared in advance for us to do." So you can begin to share with them Scriptures in a way that would connect with their understanding of who God is and what salvation is all about. You can also use Scripture to connect with them when it comes to some of the struggles that they might be having in their life. Scripture is full of examples where we might be able to show them how God can help them through a difficult time in their life. So it's important for us to use the right kind of bait. The Holy Spirit can help us to know what to say when we encounter someone with whom we might want to share our faith. The third thing I learned from fishing is that you need to use a hook in order to catch the fish. A hook to reach people is to share with people what Jesus has to offer them, what He has done for them. He offers forgiveness of their sins. He offers the love of God. He offers eternal life in heaven. And He offers a life of joy, peace, and love. The fourth thing I learned from fishing for fish is that you don't clean up the fish before you catch them. That might seem obvious, but if you think about it, you and I many times want the unbeliever to get their act together first before we try to share with them about Christ. We want them to kind of be almost Christians the way they act before we can try to share with them the good news of Christ. But the reality is, people that are unbelievers really can't live the Christian life on a regular basis. And so we can't expect them to live the sort of life that we want to try to live. And so it's important to remember that our job is to catch them. His job is to clean them. And so we catch them. He cleans them. The final thing I learned from fishing for fish is that you must have patience. It takes sometimes a long time even to get a nibble when you're fishing for fish. And the same thing is true perhaps when it comes to sharing our faith with Christ with someone else. And that is that we may not always be able to make inroads the first time we try to share with them. So it's important for us to keep at it, to keep fishing. Sometimes it may take days or weeks or months or even years to reach someone. But let's not be discouraged. Let's keep fishing for the fish. We remind ourselves that we are called not just to be keepers of the aquarium, but we're called to be fishers of people. We're reminded that most people come to faith in Jesus Christ because of the witness and testimony of individual Christians. We are reminded also that the church is a place to which we can bring those that are searching for God, those that are searching for Christ, those that really are those that need the Lord in their life. We can bring them to church where they can find a place of refuge, a place of safety, and a place where they can have help in fighting the world, the flesh, and the devil. I always conclude my email blasts with the words, "Let us grow," because that's what we're supposed to do as a church. We're supposed to grow. We're supposed to get more people in. We're supposed to bring more people to Christ. All those things are a part of what the church is all about. We're not called to be a holy huddle. We're called to be a place of growth, a place where people that are in need of Christ out in the world, and let me tell you, the lake is full of them. The people need to come to Christ. We have a place to which we can bring them if we are willing to take the chance to do so. We want to actively try to bring them into the family of God so that they can be a part of this glorious experiment that we are doing, and that is seeking to live for Christ and for the world. May I encourage you to pray for that you might become a more effective fisher of people? There's not much more exciting than bringing someone to Christ and seeing them begin to grow in their Christian faith. Certainly, you can be a part of that by going where the fish are, using the right line, using the right bait, using the right hook, and certainly waiting for the Holy Spirit to change the hearts of those that you're trying to catch. Let us pray. Lord, we recognize that we often fall short in our efforts to be a witness for you out in the world. Lord, sometimes it's based on fear. Sometimes it's based upon our belief that we don't know enough. Sometimes it's based upon the fact that we don't want to lose a friendship. But whatever it is, Lord, would you give us the boldness, the desire, the power, and the ability to share our faith in a way that is winsome, a way that can bring others into your kingdom, and a way that not only represents you in a positive light,
but also helps them to realize all that you have done for us and for them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.